chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. 7 through 10. We're at the same place we were on last week. We're going to continue on with this. We're talking about looking at and letting God speak to us about bitterness. But I got to finish up this about grace, because as I said on last week, we really won't really understand bitterness and its subtle forms until we understand grace. You got to hear this. I said bitterness and its subtle forms, because a lot of things that we say is the devil holding us up, a lot of it is that he has got us to be blinded to the fact that we hold ourselves up in a lot of ways. And he blinds us to our own issues that may be holding us up, but he causes us to look at the mote in somebody else's eyes. Hello. And can't see the beam that's in our own eyes. And sometimes in certain areas where we can't seem to get a breakthrough, it might be. There's other things that it could be, but it might be that we might have some bitterness that we have not dealt with. Amen. And so in order to understand bitterness, we got to really get a firm grasp on grace and its different sides or different faces. Amen. Amen. Do you have 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10? Let us read this again. We read it on last week, but let's read it again together. And it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," now this is the good part, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, Paul says this: "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, oh God, Lord. Now speak, Lord, to our hearts that we may understand what your grace is, Lord, and to a deeper degree than we may have already seen it, oh God. But Lord, you always want to take us deeper, oh God, that we might go higher in you. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts, oh God, Lord. Lord, touch our ears, oh God, that we may hear. Lord, touch our eyes that we may see, oh God. Lord, touch our hearts, oh God, that we may receive all things that you have freely for us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I think we left off on last week. And for the sake of really hitting all of this and really getting into this, I'm really not going to really do a recap, because some of this we're going to be able to pick up and flow with. But Paul here was interesting, because he lets us see a side of grace that many times we don't see. He says, in essence, he's relating to the Corinthian church, and by way of this, the Holy Spirit lets us get a glimpse of this. He says that because of what God was doing in his life in one area of grace, in the area of grace of great power and great revelation and being able to establish the churches and being able to bring revelation to the people of God that they may understand God, that was one area of grace. That was one aspect of grace, that he was only able to do the great works of the Lord because of grace. Amen. Amen. But now here's the thing. Paul said because of that grace that he received, he says that there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to keep him from getting puffed up with one area of grace, which is great revelation. And it's interesting that he says that he prayed for it to be removed three times. So it's interesting that Paul, with his great revelations and great insight into spiritual things, Paul did not realize that what he had received, this thorn in the flesh, was something that God wanted to remain. Now, the reason why I say this is because Paul says it. He says that he prayed three times that it would be removed, right? So that obviously meant that he thought that it was something that was hindering him, whatever it was. Whatever the thorn in the flesh was, a lot of people have speculated that it may have been an illness. Some people said that it may have been the Jewish people, some of the Jewish people that were trying to keep him from preaching and vowed to kill him. Whatever it was, whatever that thorn in the flesh was, Paul at first recognized it and thought that it was something that was hindering him. But then he says, after the third time of praying and God had not answered, and I don't know about you, but I've had some things that I prayed about and God had not answered. I don't know about you. Maybe everybody else is spiritual enough that you can get every answer the first time you pray. I don't know. Some folks are real deep. Some folks got a real connection with God like that. But, you know, some of us, you pray and nothing happens. Now, we know it's not God. So then we're left to say, maybe it's me. So then we go through a whole lot of twists and turns and trying to get ourselves together. And maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to fast more. Maybe I need to stop doing this. Maybe I need to start doing this. And then you find out you still haven't got an answer to the prayer. Paul said that he prayed three times. And after the third time, God still didn't take the thorn away. But God said something. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we don't need God to answer what we ask. We just need him to give us a word. Amen. Hello, somebody. That was something right there. Sometimes we don't need God always to answer what we ask. Now hear this. Because we can ask for a lot of stuff. I don't know about you, but I found out that over the years, I've asked for some stuff that I found out I didn't need, or I found out I asked for some stuff that I thought I needed at the time, but then after the passing of time, I said, Lord, I thank you that you didn't answer that. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you need just a little bit of time to see that what you asked for was something that you thought you needed. Hello. You may have been sincere, but you thought you needed. And so, but all we need always is a word, whether it's a word of I'm going to bring it now, or whether it's I'm going to bring it later, or whether it's my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, that was all that Paul needed, because we see that Paul didn't ask anymore for that thing to be taken away. And so there is in itself the glimpse of another side of grace. The other side of grace was Paul was trying to give to us was this, that God had given him the grace to be able to see great revelations and to be able to expound upon the word of God. That is a grace. You just can't do that. A lot of folks try to get out there and preach and they just talking off the top of their head out of the Paul even talked about. He said, we don't speak according to man's or world's wisdom. Hello. But we speak based upon the power of God and the word of God. And so God's grace showed up in the revelations. But then God understood that Paul, because of the great revelations, his flesh, as well as our flesh, can't always handle all the stuff that God wants to give to us. We may be doing great stuff, but then our flesh wants to take the credit. Sometimes it's not overtly taking the credit. Maybe it's you taking the credit in your mind. Hello. Everybody looks at it and sees it as being great confidence, and only God knows is great pride. Hello. Paul said, this messenger of Satan, now it's interesting that he said that, this messenger of Satan was given so that he would not get puffed up. So now here's the thing. Who gave it then? Because if it's Satan, We know it, the messenger of Satan was a thorn in the flesh, but that don't mean that Satan gave himself to Paul. Watch this. Because pride comes before a fall, right? A haughty spirit before destruction. So now it wouldn't be that the devil didn't want Paul to get puffed up in pride, because the devil cometh but to do nothing but to kill, to steal, and destroy. So the devil's way would have been to leave Paul alone, let him get puffed up, because once he gets big enough, he gonna destroy himself. But now here's the interesting thing. Maybe the thorn in the flesh, and that's what we're gonna see. The thorn in the flesh was actually something that he looked at and thought was negative, but really God said, I know the devil wants to try to destroy you, but what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put the limitations on the devil. Watch this. I'm going to put the limitations on the devil, but I'm going to let the devil work some of what he wants to work, but it will only produce what I want. Amen. Amen. I like it. Look at Job. I know this kind of talk don't fit up with what you hear on TV, that the devil and God and the devil aren't in cahoots together. And that is true. The devil and God are not in cahoots together. But the devil wants to try to mess up God's plan. But God is so sovereign that God will just kind of laugh at the devil and say, okay, fine. I'll let you do to Paul like you tried to do to Job. But remember what he said about what we see in Job. He said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Now, it's interesting that it wasn't the devil that brought up Job's name. It was God. Sometimes you set up for a blessing by God. You set up by God. Now, I know all you see is the hand of the devil, but sometimes you need to understand that you are actually set up by God, and the devil coming to fight you is sometimes the best thing for you. All right, I'm not going to get too many amens. Amen. But remember what God said to the devil when he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, he's an upright man, he's skewered evil and all that. He says, but does he fear you for nothing? He says, you've kept him hedged about, can't nothing touch him, you know. But he said, well, okay, fine. Touch his stuff, but don't touch his life. See, God said, I know, devil, what you want to do, but I know what I need to do in Job. So I'm going to let you touch him only because I need you so that you can work, so that something can be worked in Job. Not the devil was going to work something in Job. Watch this. But that the circumstance in which the devil was going to try to put on Job was going to be the very classroom that God needed. Hello. So watch this. See, a lot of times people have fought against that sickness or certain calamities or certain things teach you a lesson. Well, in truth, those situations don't teach you a lesson. They don't. They are just the classroom and the board and the blackboard that the Holy Spirit uses to teach. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us through the classroom of our circumstances. We get it? See, because there are certain things that we won't learn except we are in certain conditions. God always sets us up with optimum conditions for what he wants to work. Now, the devil wants to work it out for evil, but God will work it out for your good. So now, the devil wanted to try to stop Paul with whatever this thorn in the flesh was. But God knew that instead of stopping Paul, it would just keep Paul from falling. Amen. Look at this. Let me throw it this way and then move on a little further. God, the devil thought the thorn was going to cause Paul to fall off. But God understood what the devil didn't understand, that the thorn in the flesh was just what Paul needed to be Paul's safety net. Let me say that again. God knew what the devil did not know. The devil thought the thorn was going to cause Paul to fall off. But God knew that the thorn was just what Paul needed to be Paul's safety net. Paul said, if I didn't have this thorn, I would have got puffed up in pride. If I had got puffed up in pride, I would have soon fallen. So now the only thing that kept Paul from falling, Paul said it himself, lest I be puffed up above measure. He's saying, actually, I thank God for the thorn, because the thorn in the flesh was my safety net that kept me from falling. Come on, you need to see, sometimes we've heard it from preachers, but we didn't really understand it because sometimes didn't have it time to break it all down. I'm just trying to break it all down for you. Remember, you've heard it sometimes said before, preachers ought to say, you ought to thank your enemies. Hello. Some of us, we need to start thanking our enemies, because what they tried to work against us was the very thing that pushed us closer into God. So then in that sense, our enemies were our friends. But in this way, you need to understand whether you're going to thank them or not. Maybe you ain't got to that place yet. You need to at least thank God for the situation. Hello? Now let's look at this. I really want you to see, because I want to move now just to that next part, that last half, verse 9, where he says, after he had prayed three times, God gave him a word. See, that's what we need. We need just a word. God's word to him was not, I'm going to get you out, or I'm not going to get you out. He didn't say one way or another. God didn't answer what Paul asked one way or another. But he gave him the answer that was needed. Verse 9 is this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, do not just think that by him saying my grace is sufficient for thee, that he is just saying, that God was just saying, I'm going to give you the grace to bear this infirmity. Now, that is another aspect of grace. Remember, because we were talking about Peter. Peter talked about the many facets, or the manifold grace of God. Many faceted, or many different sides and dimensions. There is a side of grace where God gives you the ability to do what you've been called to do. It may be in speaking. It may be in comforting. It may be in prayer. It may be in faith. It may be in a whole lot of supernatural gifts. And those gifts are grace gifts, right? Those are the abilities that God has given to you to accomplish the assignment that you're supposed to accomplish in the body of Christ. But then God gives us a grace to be able to withstand the persecutions that come to us because of the word. Now that's another side of grace. He comforts us, right? He sends us the comforter, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. He says he has ministering angels to minister to us while we're going through. That is his grace. He covers us while we're going through. That is a side of grace. But now here we're talking about the grace of our situations. That's another side to it. So here he's saying my grace is sufficient. Not just that I'm going to hold you while you're going through with this thorn in the flesh, but his grace is sufficient. His grace is what we need. What does sufficient mean? Sufficient means it is well able to meet the need. My grace is sufficient. All that's encompassed in my grace is sufficient for you to reach the place where you're supposed to be. Every place where God has taken you, every place where you have been, whether you liked it or not, whether it was a dream or whether it was a nightmare, all of that is part of God's grace leading you towards where he wants you to be. Now, here's the thing. Everything that you have experienced, even those things you want to forget. Hello. I'm not saying that you got to remember all of it, but even those things that you want to regret and sometimes become resentful. If that hadn't happened in my life, I would have been so much farther. Mm-mm. Not really. Because everything that God allows to touch our life, even stuff that we made the mistake. Here's the thing. God allowed us to make that mistake. There were some things that the door that God closed the door on. Hello, I know myself. And if you really think hard, there's some stuff that you tried to do or wanted to do and you just didn't work. Some door was closed. You missed the opportunity. The door was closed. They ran off and left you. I remember one occasion, and I remember this very vividly. I had to work. And my friends were going to a very fun picnic. Yeah, I put it that way. A very fun picnic. Everybody was going to be there. But I had to work. And I had to work just as everything was going to get started. You know, folks don't come to those type of picnics at 10 o'clock in the morning so they can get, no. I had to be at work at 3:30 in the summertime. You know, that's when everybody was getting, and I was toiling whether to go or not. I called in, and the bad part about it was I was the assistant manager. Oh, my goodness. I called in to see if I could call some favors in, see if I had some friends that, you know, I had done some stuff for them, let them off early and all the rest of that. And everybody was tied up and I had to be there. Oh, I was tore up. That was the longest day because I'm trying to figure out what are they doing now? At about 8 o'clock, three of my friends comes through the door. I thought they were just coming to rub it in because they had to work. But they were coming in because they said they had just come back from the hospital. Three of my friends, had to have stitches because what had happened was across the field, you know, Dan Ryan Woods, across the field, the Blackstone, I think the Stones, brothers, you know, you had disciples and brothers. Yeah. The brothers were, huh? Peace Stone Nation, all the rest of that. Whatever. The brothers was having a picnic, a gathering on the other side. And at the picnic where we were, there was somebody there that was causing a ruckus because he knew he was part of them, or he could at least call them. And so he caused a ruckus. So there was a little altercation there. Well, he made a call. All of those folks start coming. I think it was only about 10 of my friends, 11 if I had been there. They told me the story that and definitely then none of us was really thinking about God at the time, but they were saying, man, it was nothing but God that got us out of there because they were in the middle of the forest preserves. You know, the cars are all on the side. They said they were in the middle. By the time they realized this sea of black and red was coming at them, they were on them. They said garbage cans were being thrown at them, beer bottles, champagne bottles. They said they don't know how in the world they fought their way out of there. They said it seemed like a bad episode of Warriors. Anybody remember that old story? Warriors, hello. But they said they don't remember. They said that one of their friends, they ran, almost got to the car, and they saw another one was there, and they just saw him as somebody came with a champagne bottle right in the face. They got to their cars, but when they got to their cars, they had to hit folks because they were throwing garbage cans on the cars. Now, as they're telling me all this, and I'm just giving you bits and pieces because their story was long. I was there and I said, man, now I'm glad I was at work. Because